We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio is Brother David Rudolph from South Africa, born in Rhodesia.
That's correct.
And ministering in South Africa. And he and his wife were with us for our missions conference just a short while back. And we've asked him to kind of share some information. Brother Rudolph, thank you so much for being with us again this morning.
Well, thank you, Pastor Huffman. Good to be with you.
I want to just kind of ask about preparation for the mission field. We've got some folks that the Lord may be speaking to their hearts about, I think maybe that's what God might want me to be and to be considering to do. What types of things would they need to be studying? For instance, is counseling something that a prospective missionary ought to get some training in before or maybe while he's on the field?
Well, I would say if someone is considering being a missionary, obviously their theological training and local church mentoring preparation is so vitally important. I think missions organizations and church planting teams are looking for candidates who have prepared and equipped themselves well.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned specifically the area of pastoral counseling,
right?
Biblical counseling. That is so vitally important. Look, missions is dealing with people. And as we deal with people, as we are ministering to their souls, we're having to cut through a lot of lifestyle issues and family problems
mm-hmm.
and dysfunctionality
mm-hmm.
that we have to be well prepared for. And there are good opportunities here in North America to be trained in the area of biblical counseling. And, you know, it would be really good. I don't know what is being offered currently in some of our Bible colleges, but just the theory of biblical counseling is one thing. But some sort of practical experience, perhaps
right.
shadowing a pastor in their church on some counseling cases and to learn, to get some hands-on experience before they get to the field, because they're going to encounter real issues on any field they would go
right.
to in our modern day.
You know, our youth pastor told me a few months ago that counseling is one of the major jobs that he does as a youth pastor, either counseling teenagers or counseling with their parents. And he said, if I were asked to help design a youth ministry curricula, he said, that is definitely something that I would put in. But sad to say, it's not normally an integral part of training young people in the area of youth ministry. And it may not be necessarily a major part of missions preparation. But what you're saying is, whether it's a part of it or not, choose that as an elective or several electives along with the theological training, so that, yes, I understand what the Bible says, because that's a foundation of everything that we say and do, but how does it apply? And you're saying it would be a definite advantageous aspect of their training.
Yes, and beyond just their own ministry to people on the field, they need to be equipped to be able to train national leaders
mm-hmm.
in this area also.
Okay.
Because we are constantly having national leaders approach us and say, I've got somebody in my church who's having a problem.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you come and counsel them?
Sure.
And what we do in that situation is say, well, no, I tell you what, you counsel them. We will help you do that.
Right,
we'll
right.
prepare you and equip you to do this as you go. So we give mm-hmm. them on-the-job training in that
right,
sense.
Right, right.
So for a missionary candidate, that is a vital part of their
mm-hmm.
preparation.
Mm-hmm. I know occasionally, because I have a master's in biblical counseling, I would have other pastors contact me and say, I have no clue how to deal with this situation one of the members of our church is facing. Would you be willing to counsel him or them? And I've gotten to the point, Brother Rudolph, that I'm now saying, I will only do that if you will sit in.
Absolutely. That's the right way to go. And look, it's a whole issue of discipleship. We've got to keep
right.
in before us as leaders, spiritual leaders, to help to equip other men mm-hmm. in the work of the ministry.
Right.
That's a great investment for eternity.
Right, right. And so there have been a couple of situations where the pastors responded, well,
and, yes.
and so that tells me, all right, you are kind of lacking in a pastor's heart. You know, I understand a pastor not being trained and equipped and that kind of a thing, but one who says, well, you know, no, we got a problem there.
Absolutely.
Because that's exactly what I faced out of seminary. I had a master's in Christian education, but as the Lord led me into starting a church and becoming involved personally in the lives of people, I realized I am not equipped. So I went back and started taking week modules and traveled 11 hours one way, you know, for these classes so that I would be better prepared to be a better pastor.
Well, I think you made a good point just then. If somebody doesn't feel that they are ready to take a master's in biblical counseling,
sure,
the very least they could do is take an introductory course to biblical counseling,
exactly,
to get a sense of the validity of it,
mm-hmm,
and how important it is for their ministry.
Especially to understand that the Bible has the answer. If it's not a physical issue, then it's a spiritual issue.
That's right.
And how important that is to be able to get into that. Let me just kind of ask a few other questions. What do you think would be something that you would recommend concerning missionaries and retirement and preparing for their later years when they're not able to be on the field anymore? What types of things should local churches be considering to do to help their missionary staff toward those times of their lives?
Well, there have been different approaches to this. Some mission agencies provide some kind of a partial pension program for their missionaries, and then they would lean heavily on Social Security, mm-hmm, at the time of retirement. And then a third component to round out their package would be the local churches would continue to support that retired missionary, but at a lower level.
Okay.
So they use a three-pronged approach.
Sure.
In my situation, because I'm not an American citizen, I do not have access to Social Security.
Right.
And in my case, I've taken out my own private pension plan.
Yes, yeah.
In preparation for this. And I'm hoping for a two-prong approach, that is with my own private retirement fund, which will not be fully equipped to support me in my retirement years, but then a partial amount from my supporting churches.
Right, right.
Besides which, I think there are more and more missionaries in our day that are not thinking about retiring. They're just planning to serve God,
mm-hmm,
in an ongoing way. And so that's a package that could probably work, you know, work till you drop in some cases.
Right.
But I think everyone's different. I think the church needs to take some leadership in this, in the missionaries' lives, come up with a combination or a package tailor-made, perhaps,
sure,
to their own missionaries' need.
Right. So you would recommend then pastors and missions committees in local churches to actually address this with their missionary staff as they're home on furlough maybe and try to help them set up some type of a retirement plan, but
sure,
also then as a missionary committee or pastoral staff or whoever makes those decisions for the local church, for the church to consider partial support as long as that missionary is alive.
I think you're really suggesting that we need to have a conversation about this within the local church.
Yes, right.
Which very little is spoken about this. It's almost seen as a private matter that missions committees are reluctant to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
I welcome it. And there have been a few occasions where my supporting churches have asked what I am doing to prepare for retirement.
Okay.
And that's a valid question. More and more, this ought to be asked.
Mm-hmm. You don't feel like they're intruding into your...
Oh, no, of course not.
Right.
We're accountable to the local church. And
mm-hmm,
for us to hear them concerned or asking questions about how we have prepared for the future is completely appropriate. I, for one, I'm glad to hear it.
Because you understand that they are showing concern for you, even if you're not able to be full-time anymore. They're simply saying, God has called you to this work, and if you've given your life to it, then we want to continue to help you,
yeah,
until the Lord takes you home.
Sure, and there's a stewardship aspect to this that the churches obviously are trying to address if,
mm-hmm,
they ask that question.
Right.
It's not that they want to necessarily sideline or dump the older missionaries,
mm-hmm,
but I think in their preparation to keep missionaries or keep sending new missionaries to the field, there has to be some planning and some forethought to,
right,
this.
Thinking of continuing to help them, what do you think about the idea of missions committees and local church members recommending to their missions committee, do we have any kind of funding to help our missionaries who are on the field to continue their education, maybe online education, or when they come home, funding to take a module class or that kind of a thing? Do you think that would be something that would be beneficial for the local churches to offer to their missionary staff?
Well, I can tell you without any hesitation that part of the reluctance for missionaries to continue in education by extension is the financial aspect.
Sure, okay.
Education, as we know, is so very expensive. missionaries have other priorities, although there's a hankering in many of us to further our education, to keep sharpening this instrument, but finances are a burden. So yes, if a local church would see this as a part of their mission, their mandate to the missionaries, that would be a tremendous relief, I'm sure.
Okay. And the longer you're on a field, the more needs you see. I know you've shared some of the things that have come up as you've been there 26 or so years. You've seen a new area of ministry. You may need some continuing education to prepare you to be involved effectively in that new area. But like you said, if you have no funds to get that training, then you're just kind of up a creek without a paddle.
That's right. And education is so accessible today with technology. We very much could take advantage of it if it wasn't for the financial limitation.
Right. Okay. Totally different topic, but maybe not totally. We're talking about support, things like that. When a missionary goes on deputation and shares with the church, if they're asked, how much money do you need to raise? And they say, about $70,000. The missionary is thinking about everything, work funds, personal salary, retirement funds, all kinds of things. Do you think the average church member understands that?
Probably not, because it's almost like there's been a non-disclosure policy where we don't talk about money very openly. And yes, it is expensive on the foreign fields. The weakness of the dollar around the world has taken a great crunch. And therefore, missionaries have to raise more dollars in order to get the job done on the field. We're very open with our ministry package, and it is expensive in a country like South Africa. And the average church member just needs to be educated on that. Not only are there work funds and other things, but something that missionaries have to prepare for, and that's their return on furlough. And you think about those air tickets, usually between $1,500 and $2,000 each.
Right.
That adds up when you are trying to move your family back to the United States.
Right.
And then there's acquisition of a vehicle on furlough. That's one of the other pressures on missionaries that is quite acute. So we would welcome more disclosure and information for the local church member.
So as the missions committee or the pastoral staff, whoever can help with that, as they educate their church members, then their church members become more understanding of the total amount of money that's needed and really be able to say, this is exactly what's needed, as opposed to, well, that's more money than I make.
And
so many times that's the wrong attitude, but that's the attitude that often is taken. Well, our time has come to an end, and Brother Rudolph, thank you so much for sharing from your heart and your experience, and I trust that your thoughts and insights will be a tremendous blessing, not just our church, but to every church that we have folks listening to our broadcast, because that's our desire, to be a blessing to churches all in this area and all around the world through our ministry. And so until the next time, we trust the Lord will bless you in a fantastic way.